national need.
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the September 6th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Tunisia's national men's basketball team, which beat Ivory Coast 78-75 on Sunday to successfully defend its AfroBasket title in Kigali, Rwanda. The Tunisians ended the competition with a perfect 6-0 record. For reaction, let's go to Kenya's capital, Nairobi, where our friend Prince Nesta is standing by. Sporty greetings, Prince!
Sporty greetings from Nairobi, Sunny. Former Dallas Mavericks Salah Mejri scored 22 points as Tunisia won its third AfroBasket tournament in the past 10 years in a 78-75 victory over Ivory Coast in a match played in Kigali, Rwanda. Senegal also beat Cape Verde 86-73 in the third place game played early on Sunday, thanks to veteran NBA center Georgiou Dieng, who scored 30 points and 12 rebounds for Senegal. Just before the two matches, I spoke with the first ever FIBA commissioner for South Sudan, Aru Ramadan Chan, who was present during the games, about his predictions, the overall organization of the tournament, and the growth of basketball in the African continent.
The finals of the FIBA championships just around the corner. Ivory Coast is going to be taking on Tunisia. Your predictions on this one?
To be honest, this is one of the hardest finals yet, and it is very hard to predict who's going to win it. In fact, from the onset, we thought Senegal was going to win it. But Senegal was beaten yesterday by Ivory Coast, and which makes it now a dilemma whether Tunisia is going to take it or the youthful Ivory Coast is going to take it. So I'm rooting for Ivory Coast, you know, because Ivory Coast are the underdog as compared to the defending champs, Tunisia.
Beautiful, beautiful. And Aru, you are in Rwanda. You've been in Rwanda since the beginning of this tournament. How would you rate the organization of the tournament so far?
The organization of the tournament is the best I'm yet to see, not just basketball-wise, but in any organization that I've been a part of. The organization is top-notch. We are in a bubble, and it is a bubble in every sense of the word. The organization is on top.
And how were fans reacting? Were fans being allowed in? How was the general atmosphere around the stadium?
Yes, for once, for the first time, the fans are being allowed in this bubble. Just that they cannot approach the players. They cannot approach the zone where the players and all the officials are. But the fans are being allowed in as long as you get tested for your COVID and you come with your certificate that you are negative. You're allowed in and you can support your team. And then, again, the social distancing and all COVID protocols are being followed.
Yes. And, you know, so far in terms of the standout teams in this tournament, I understand South Sudan actually defeated Kenya. Could you take us through the general mood of the South Sudanese team in terms of, you know, reaching the quarterfinals of the competition?
The South Sudanese team is in high spirit. This being our first outing as a nation to come to African Cup of Nation and come to AfroBasket and do well by not exiting in the group stages, but going to the knockout stages where we met Kenya and we knocked Kenya out, our neighbors, and then losing in the quarterfinals against the defending champion, which is Tunisia. It's something to ride home to, you know. As competitors, this is not what we are expecting. We are expecting to be in the finals today, but we'll build on that as we come back the next time, the next Afro, and we'll do better, inshallah.
Absolutely. You know, congratulations and kudos once again for that fantastic performance. Are there standout teams for you in this tournament, standout individual performances that you can mention?
Yes, there are standout teams. One team that I really love watching and they exceeded everybody's expectation was South Sudan, one of the countries. That's my team. And then the second one that everybody's wowed about is Cape Verde. Cape Verde have really done so well in this tournament, coming in as an underdog, and then they lost to Tunisia, you know, and they have their big man, number 22, I had name, but the center big man that plays for Real Madrid, he has been outstanding. He has been dominant, you know, he has done his thing. Ivory Coast, on the other hand, also have been outstanding. You know, nobody, when they came into the tournament, they had like a slow start and we didn't know that they were going to be in the final. But they have the Abate, a veteran guard that is doing it all for them. Kenya also have an outstanding player, a new boy in town called Odero. Odero had a very, very good tournament. And Uganda also qualified to the quarterfinals and for the first time in their history, and they also did very well, you know, with their star player that is going to the NBA now, you know, Wainwright. They also had a very, very good tournament, you know. So there are several players that really played well and they had outstanding tournaments.
Yes, and when you talk about Ivory Coast, for instance, they're in the finals. They're going to be taking on defending champions Tunisia. What do you think they need to get right so that they can walk away with a surprise win in the tournament and even, you know, win the whole thing altogether?
One thing they need to get right is to make sure to play with pace. Tunisia are very powerful, they're a very good team, but they are old and slow. So if they push the ball, and pace it up, they're going to catch them flat-footed. The other thing is to just make sure that they do their level best to cover threes, because Tunisia are a well-oiled machine that shoot the three ball very, very well, better than any other team in this tournament so far. So if they do those two things, they will have an advantage and take care of Majuri and Mike Rawls. You know, those two have been doing it all for Tunisia in this tournament so far.
How do you rate African basketball so far?
African basketball this year has stepped up very, 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 very much. It has stepped up and is going places. This is given that there are so many foreign players that are coming back to play for their national team and playing for clubs in their respective countries. You know, that adds value to African basketball. And that is very evident now. You can see that the game is more tactical. You know, the players are using more techniques as compared to before. You know, the game has become very, very fast. It has evolved and it has become very physical, which explains a lot that now the competition is stiff, the competition is very hard, and everybody is doing their level best and removing the last tool they have in their bag to try and win this game.
You know, to your South Sudanese team, and I know you really involved in terms of, you know, working with individual players, for instance. You're really, really involved in basketball in South Sudan. What would you like to tell your South Sudanese team, and what should they improve on next time when such a competition is held so that they can win the tournament?
Yeah, it's to make sure that we do our level best to control our turnovers. Because if you're getting a team making 10 points off your turnovers, 40 points, 38 points, 50 points, that means you're doing a very, very bad job at taking control of the ball, you know, and be more patient, when to know when to run it, when to know when to slow it down, and small things here and there, and I'm very sure we will fix them in the coming tournament.
And to that young person listening to you right now, what would you like to tell them? you know, that young player listening to you right now, you know, they want to also take part in this competition, which is like a dream come true for many basketball players. What would you like to tell them?
I would just tell them that it is possible. It is doable. You can make it. Anybody can make it. If these young guys who are here have made it, you can make it. There's no age cup where you say, you know, when I reach 30, I can make it. No, we have South Sudanese team, South Sudanese players who are teenagers. They're still in college in US, and they're here playing here in Afro. So you just be disciplined, work at your craft, and sooner or later, your name will be called.
That was Aru Ramadan Chan, the first ever FIBA commissioner for South Sudan, chatting with me about his predictions, the overall organization of the AfroBasket tournament, and the growth of basketball in the African continent. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta in Nairobi, Kenya.
Yeah, my name is Aru Ramadan Chan. I am a certified FIBA commissioner from South Sudan, the first one. And you're listening to Sunny Side of Sport.
Hi, this is Larry London, the host of VOA's Border Crossings, where we feature music and interviews along with your favorite artists from around the world. Tune in and interact live with us here in Washington, D.C.
Hello, Shirin.
Hello, Larry. How are you?
Good. How are you tonight?
Border Crossings comes to you Monday through Friday at 1500 UTC GMT.
Thanks, Larry. That's Larry London, a man who's always ready to cross musical borders. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. More FIBA AfroBasket news. Tunisian big man Makram Ben Ramdane was named most valuable player of the 30th AfroBasket tournament. And joining him on the official five-man AfroBasket All-Star team are Tunisian teammate Omar Abada, Matt Costello of Ivory Coast, Walter Tavares of Cape Verde, and Gorgui Zheng of Senegal. The AfroBasket Championship Tournament was held at the Kigali Arena in Rwanda, which also hosted the inaugural season of the Basketball Africa League in May.
Voice of America!
And the Voice of America was a proud broadcasting partner of the Basketball Africa League action in Kigali. In African men's football, this is a busy period in the qualifying competition for next year's FIFA World Cup in Qatar. There are two rounds of qualifiers in September, two rounds in October, and two more rounds of African qualifying in November. In March 2022, only 10 African teams will remain in contention for that trip to Qatar, and they'll be drawn into five home and away ties, and the winners of those five ties will earn the much coveted trip to Qatar for the World Cup. In World Cup qualifying results Sunday, the brave warriors of Namibia scored a big 1-0 road victory against the Sparrowhawks of Togo in Lome. And let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Namibia's Elmo Kabindu, who scored the winning goal on a brilliant bicycle kick in the 54th minute. In two more African World Cup qualifiers Sunday, host Rwanda and Kenya drew 1-1 in Kigali, and Gabon and visiting Egypt also drew 1-1. The Super Eagles of Nigeria have a road match Tuesday against the Blue Sharks of Cape Verde. The Super Eagles are coming off a victory over the Lone Star of Liberia in another World Cup qualifier in Lagos. Joining us now from Nigeria's commercial capital is Iron Mike Mbonye. Sporty greetings, Iron Mike.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The Super Eagles of Nigeria began the race for the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar on a winning note. Playing at the Teslim Balogun Stadium in Lagos, the Nigerian team defeated the Lone Stars of Liberia by 2-0. Leicester City's forward, Kelechi Iheanacho, scored the goals for Nigeria in the 21st and 45th minutes. Nigeria tops Group C with 3 points, while Cape Verde and Central African Republic have a point each after playing 1-1 in Cameroon. Gennaro Rowe, head coach of the Super Eagles, told the media department of the Nigeria Football Federation that he is delighted with the victory against Liberia.
The job has been done. We had to win our first game at home, and we didn't want to concede a goal also, to show that now we are stable behind, and the 4 or 5 times now we didn't concede a goal. So that's a very good thing. We knew that some of our players had to leave after this match, and they had to do well before leaving. They cannot go to Cape Verde like you know. We scored our 2 goals in the first half already, so we were calm, and we could in the second half play our good football without scoring a goal, but it was, for moments, was a very good football.
Ross says the Super Eagles away game against Cape Verde is a challenge and will not be easy.
We have to show our solidarity, and the players who are coming in now, since we will be 20 players to go to Cape Verde, so we will be able to make a good team. We have to manage this situation without searching alibis if it's not going well. And I'm believing that our team is able to bring another good performance, even if you know that it's more difficult than the game today.
Super Eagles goalkeeper Maduka Okoye says the team is aware of the task ahead and have prepared for the game against Cape Verde.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a very good game against a very good opponent. And it's going to be a away game. So we're not really know yet what's going to expect us with the pitch and the conditions. But I'm very sure that we will do this as a team together.
Fisayo Dairo, chief football writer at www.acsports.com in Nigeria, says Nigerians are expecting the Super Eagles to win in Cape Verde despite the absence of 9 regular Europe-based players.
Nigeria is a country of over 200 million in population and over a million footballers, you know, and over 100,000 professionals. So we should be able to get 20 players. Yes, the coach had prepared for this by inviting about 29 players to camp actually. So we have at least 20 players to call on to do the business for us in Cape Verde, and no excuses will still be entertained by the victory-loving Super Eagles fan.
Cape Verde will host Nigeria on September 7 in a Group C qualifying match of the 2022 FIFA World Cup. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Ayo Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria.
Sporty greetings. This is Chairman Christian Chukwu, former captain of national team Green Eagles, former coach of Super Eagles, former coach of Kenya national team, former coach of Safa of Lebanon. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we can all help fight the corona pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and nose when we are in crowded places or areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Be sure to join me on the next Straight Talk Africa. We'll take you to the movies as internet streaming giants battle for top billing and online audiences across Africa. We ask who's winning and who's watching. We'll also look at the growing demand for homemade stories by Africans, for Africans, and about Africans. We'll have it all right here on the next Straight Talk Africa, Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Haiti. That's Haiti Adams, our Straight Talk Africa host. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The Paralympics for disabled athletes officially ended Sunday in Tokyo, Japan. China dominated the Paralympics medals table with a total of 204 medals, 96 gold, 60 silver, and 51 bronze. Team Great Britain finished second on the Paralympics medals table with 124 medals, 41 gold, 38 silver, and 45 bronze. And the United States was third overall with 104 medals, 37 gold, 36 silver, and 31 bronze. And let's also give Sunny Side of Sports salutes for the Paralympic teams from Tunisia, Algeria, Morocco, Nigeria, and South Africa. They each won four gold medals. The Tunisians were the top-performing African team in Tokyo with four gold, five silver, and two bronze, and a total of 11 medals. And let's give another Sunny Side of Sports salute to Team Ethiopia, which won its first ever Paralympic gold medal. It came from Tigis Mengistu, who won the gold medal in the women's 1500 meters T13 race.
This is the voice of America. Washington, D.C.
Canadian sprinter Andre DeGrasse was one of the big stars at this year's Olympics in Tokyo. In this Sunny Side of Sports Olympic highlight, we're joined once again by my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. This year's Tokyo Games marks the first time in 17 years that a sprinter other than world record holder Usain Bolt is crowned an Olympic champion in the men's 100 and 200 meter races. This past June, I profiled Canadian Andre DeGrasse ahead of the games in his quest to win gold in Tokyo, and now the long wait is over. He won bronze for Canada in the men's 100-meter race. DeGrasse won gold in the 200 meters. And afterwards, he told reporters, even without the presence of Usain Bolt, he knew he needed to run fast.
I knew coming into tonight it was going to be a fast race. You know, I knew that it was going to take something special to win tonight, so I've just been really just in the lab, just training hard. Probably trained a lot more this year for the 200 than the 100. So just trying to like make sure my endurance was there and making sure that I was fit for the rounds. So yeah, I mean, of course, like I had a good warm up. I felt really good and I really just had to just really execute my game plan. If I could execute my game plan, I knew that I was going to come away with a medal. I knew it was going to be tight and it was tight. So definitely thankful and appreciative that, you know, I got the gold.
The gold is the fifth Olympic medal for DeGrasse, and he's now Canada's new record holder in the 200 meters. His time of 19.62 seconds makes him the eighth fastest man in that event. American Kenneth Benarek captured the silver in the 200 meters, and despite coming up just short of the win, Benarek said he's happy to finish with a personal best.
I mean, obviously, I wanted to get that gold medal, and I thought I almost had it, but it was just a little bit out of reach. But it was a tight race, and I got a personal best out of this race and, you know, a silver medal, and I'm just happy with my performance.
American world champion Noah Lyles was expected to win the 200 meters in Tokyo, but he took home the bronze. And afterwards, he talked openly about his long training season and struggles with mental health leading up to the games.
Mentally and physically, it's been very long. I'd say coming off of antidepressants, going on antidepressants, kind of deciding to do the double, not making the 100, coming back in the 2, you know, just being okay with, you know, everything I've been doing. It got hard at one point to train and scared that I might injure myself. To be honest, even waking up yesterday with a swollen knee and be like, shoot, I might not be able to run. At the same time, you know, it's nice to have the medal. Everybody says that it's a great accomplishment, and it is. you know, being an Olympic medalist, I always want fast people to compete against, because when I see other people run fast, it makes me want to go faster.
Kenyan Emmanuel Correa won gold in the 800 meters, a race he says is tough both physically and mentally.
I'm so happy. I mean, having this gold, I mean, it's a great achievement. It takes a lot, I mean, to be here today. So, a lot of pressure, I mean, training hard, tension. I mean, you have to think, you have to analyze. I mean, the tactical you can use, I mean, to beat other guys, because everyone, I mean, is tough. Especially, maybe I can say this 800 meters was the toughest one.
Compatriot Ferguson Rotich won the silver to give Kenya a 1-2 finish in that event. Kenya has now won the men's 800 meters at 4 consecutive Olympic Games. On the women's side, Peruth Chemutai made history as the first Ugandan woman to win an Olympic medal. Chemutai won gold in the 3,000 steeplechase in national record time. And afterwards, she said she's proud to represent the people of Uganda.
I'm so happy today to be the Olympic champion. I'm proud of myself. I'm proud of my country. Now it's the first time to get the medal in Uganda since 2015 in Commonwealth Games. But today, I'm so happy.
And that is all for me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uden. As we just heard, Ugandan Olympic champion Peruth Chemutai was so happy with the gold medal she won in Tokyo. Chemutai received a big welcome home in Kampala, as we hear now in another Olympic highlight from Magume Davis Rakawinge.
Hundreds of Ugandans stand up along Entebbe Road to have a glimpse of their heroes returning home with the most number of medals Uganda has ever won at an Olympics event. The athletes drove in a convoy as they offered back their fans. One of the athletes was Peruth Chemutai, a 3,000-meter steeplechase gold winner. She narrates how she ran to victory.
I control my presence. I go up to 4 laps. American girl passed me, but I said that I will not give up. I will go. Yeah, after the end. Yeah. I'm happy to be a Olympic champion, world record holder, possible. Yeah, I'm so happy.
Chemutai beat America's Courtney Fritch and Kenya's Hevin Kiyeng in national record time of 9.05 to become the first Ugandan woman to win Olympics gold. Ugandan Winnie Nanyondo participated in both 800 and 1500 meters, reaching on the final in the later. 800 meters world champion Halima Nakai also reached the semifinals, while sprinter Shida Leni rubbed shoulders with Elson Felix, one of the world's greatest athletes.
Since my childhood, I used to admire how Alison Felix runs, and she's my role model. I could watch her again and again and again. If I'm going for races, I first enter YouTube, I watch her races, and so I just feel like I want to run like her. She really inspires me a lot. So all along, I look at her like my role model. Racing with her and racing in the same heat with her, it was really a big something I can't even just imagine, that I was in the heat with her.
Indeed, Leni made herself and Uganda proud, becoming the first Ugandan sprinter at the Olympics since 2008 Beijing Olympics. Athletics fan Faith Gertrude welcomed Golden Chemutai and other athletes.
As a woman, more joy for me, because, I mean, we all know women are struggling, and when a woman wins, you know, it's joy all over for us as women, and we get proud about it, not only as a country, but as a gender, we feel, you know, powerful.
For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume Davis Rakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Megumi. And that wraps up the September 6th edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sunny Young in Washington, and that's the sunny side of sports.